The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Everyone, and a very, very pleasant Monday morning greeting to all of our listeners out there. Thank you so much for tuning in to Natural Doc Radio. Remember that Natural Doc Radio is brought to you every day of the week right here, 10 to 11. And the sponsor of our show is AMT Centers, Advanced Medical Testing Centers. And last Saturday, we had a very, very nice seminar, a very informative seminar, and leading that seminar is Dr. Herb Slavin, and he's with me this morning. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Well, good morning, Janet.
And I have to tell you, it was the first time last Saturday that I saw the slides that you have profiling all of the different tests that are available at AMT Centers. And it was a very, very impressive seminar.
It's really, for me, disappointing knowing how much information healthcare consumers can get. And why is that information important? Because it really allows them to take control of their health instead of the minuscule amount of information the doctors are getting for them. In other words, CBC and a chem panel just doesn't cut it if you want to stay healthy. That's almost like a mammogram. You know, when it's positive, all right, we've got, you know, the chemo and radiation surgery waiting for you. So when the CBC and the chem panel are abnormal, you're seriously ill, and, you know, now we've got treatments for you. And people have to understand that there's a lot of information available that doctors can't help you with because there's no drug. There's no drug to make you cut back on your sugar and carbohydrate intake. There's no drug to make you exercise more. But the information tells you that you're on the wrong path. That you're not on a path to wellness. You're on a path to illness if with these tests. But the CBC and the chem panel don't give you that information. As far as those tests are concerned, you're well until they come out abnormal and you're sick.
It's very interesting. The one that was very impressive to me among many, because there were so many tests, very, very interesting. And of course, for years, I've worked with the idea that when you have an abnormal test from whatever area it might be, that there are certainly very, very helpful, effective answers by changing your diet and understanding nutritional deficiencies and addressing those deficiencies in a therapeutic way. And a one-a-day vitamin is not going to do that therapeutic support to your nutritional status. But the one that was very interesting to me was the genetic test that tells people what medications, what herbs, what over-the-counter medications, what pharmaceutical preparations, what the most effective choice might be, and what are the most negative choices. That was very important to me because typically, you know, a doctor might have a favorite prescription that he writes over and over and over again. And for all of the diverse numbers of patients that he has, that prescription is not the best one for each of those patients.
I'd like to pass on a little story about someone we both know. he had been feeling, hadn't been feeling well, so he goes to his doctor. He's in an HMO, and I'll let you be the judge if that has a bearing on his health care. And they said, oh, you have a sinus infection, take this antibiotic, goodbye. Now, what they should have done, you know, and I don't want to be too critical because it's always easy to, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking and everything else, at least do a CBC, you know, just to see what the extent of the infection might be, because you've given him an antibiotic to treat something.
And the reason to do that CBC is to evaluate the white blood cell and the panel of white blood cell subgroups?
Yes, and also to establish a baseline so that in a week or two, if he's not getting better, you can repeat it and see if he's get, if he's worse or better. You know, you can evaluate things. So no baseline, he has an antibiotic. A week later, he gets better, and then a week after that, he's sick again. So he goes back to the doctor, and the doctor says, you know what? Maybe you didn't have a sinus infection before. You have pneumonia. Well, he did an X-ray in his office. Now, I'm not going to say whether that's a good thing or not. I like radiologists doing X-rays as opposed to doctors in their office. They keep up the standards are higher. You have the experts reading it, and that just makes more sense to me. And you're getting an automatic second opinion right there. That's why I don't like, for example, gynecologists doing their own ultrasounds. I want the radiologist to interpret the ultrasounds. You know, just to have two sets of eyes on a problem. So now he said, all right, you're still sick. He has an antibiotic. And just to be on the safe side, this is not what the doctor said. I'm just interpreting his actions. Here's a second antibiotic. I want you to take two antibiotics together. And so when he goes to fill the prescription, the pharmacist says, you know, these two antibiotics together are contraindicated. They're contraindicated because they increase the risk of cardiac arrhythmias. And here's a patient who has a cardiac problem. He had a valve replacement. So you would think, you know, maybe you play it on the safe side. But the pharmacist called the doctor and said, no, go right ahead, fill them. So I think, you know, that's taking chances with the patient. So when the patient explained it to me, I said, you know what, you took that antibiotic last time, so hold off on that one. Just take this one, the new one, and then see how you feel after a couple of days, and then you can reevaluate it. But the way it should have been done right from the beginning, or at least on this last time, if you have sputum production, if you're coughing up anything, you culture that. You collect that, and you culture it, so you know what you're dealing with. It may be that you're dealing with a viral infection all along here, and all these antibiotics are not going to make a big difference. But this is what doctors do. They just, it's called shotgun medicine. You know, just take this and get out of my office instead of doing the appropriate workup. Now, I would have done with this patient with a history of endocarditis, experiencing fever and chills, you get a blood culture. Now, the doctor can't do that in the office. Usually you get sent to the hospital so they can do the blood cultures. And usually you don't do just one set of blood cultures. You repeat it a couple of times on separate occasions because you just want to make sure you get a good enough of blood to catch the bacteria in the blood if it's there. Because that's what you're looking for with a blood culture. Is there bacteria in the blood? And it's particularly important. I don't recommend this for everybody, but someone with a history of endocarditis, you have to be a little more vigilant. So I'm just saying, unfortunately, as healthcare consumers, you don't know this. You know, you trust that the doctor is putting your best interests first, not his financial interests, and he's doing what's right for you. And now with an HMO, unfortunately, they puts the doctor in a difficult position because he's paid in advance to take care of you, whether you use him or not. So in other words, the less he does for you, the more he gets to keep.
Whoa, what a statement.
But
I think, unfortunately, a lot of healthcare consumers or patients, as they are also known, are not necessarily aware of how an HMO is set up financially like that.
And I wonder, you know, if you were to do a study comparing treatments for HMOs versus non-HMO patients, whether you would see a disparity. And they would say, well, the non-HMO patients where the doctor's being paid for what he does, well, naturally, they're going to overuse it because that was the argument for starting HMOs. You know, pay the doctor up front so you're not creating an incentive for him to do more testing or allow more sickness. You want to keep people healthy, and the way you do that is, you know, keep him out of hospital, and he gets to keep more money. But if you carry, now I'm not trying to indict doctors to say that they're not interested in their patients. Of course they are, but you need to have an informed consumer to know whether or not the doctor's doing the right thing. And let me tell you another story about the same patient. So when I told him years ago, I don't know how many years ago it was, maybe 3-4 years ago, that he might have endocarditis because he was having all the symptoms of it. And I said, you know, go to your doctor, you know, at least get a blood culture and find out. And, yeah, the diagnosis was made. And then they sent him to one cardiovascular surgeon. And he said, yeah, you have to have your valve repaired. And, you know, we'll open your chest and, you know, we'll take care of it. I said, go see this other surgeon that I'm aware of that's very good. He goes to see him. He said, well, we can do this laparoscopically, 3 little incisions, and we can fix the valve that way without opening your chest. And that's what he went for, and everything turned out all right. But a perfect example of why second opinions are important.
Such incredibly broad information. If you would, Dr. Slavin, tell us, HMO stands for Health Maintenance Organization, and PPO is a preferred patient.
Provider organization. Preferred. What that means is there's a specific network of doctors you have to go to when you sign up. Now, what does that mean for the consumer? Well, they limit the number of providers. And there's an unwritten implication there that if you don't do a good job, you're not going to be renewed for the next time. But, of course, what is a good job? That's the big question mark. You know, a good job from an HMO standpoint is don't spend money. That would be a good job. Now, I don't think spending money is really the issue. It's wasting money that's the issue. And I would argue that allowing your patients to get sick and having to put them in a hospital is a waste of money, but they don't consider that a waste. That's like the standard of care. That happens all the time. Trying to keep patients out of the hospital and keep them healthy, that's what they fight against because they don't cover a lot of that stuff, trying to keep people out of the hospital. Because then they say, well, you're not sick enough.
So the whole concept of preventive care, in spite of what you might be receiving in communications from your health insurance provider, in spite of what you might be reading in the media, preventive care is actually a figment of our imaginations with regard to how medicine is practiced today.
Preventive care is stop smoking and have a vaccine.
Ooh. Dr.
I mean, isn't that basically what they say? I mean, don't smoke and get your vaccines, your flu vaccines, your pneumococcal vaccines, and the list is becoming longer and longer. With the herpes vaccine and the chickenpox vaccine. And these are the adult types of vaccines, the hepatitis vaccine. We're not getting to the childhood vaccines. We have mumps, measles, and rubella, and the polio. Although I think they still do polio. They stop smallpox, but they still do polio.
Okay.
I believe. They stopped the Sabin vaccine because that was a live virus and that was giving people polio. In fact, all the cases of polio were attributed to the vaccine. So now they're back to the Salk vaccine, which is a dead virus.
Such important details that people need to know. And I don't necessarily hear that music.
I bet you'll hear it in a second.
I hope I'm hearing it in a second. And there it is.
Magic.
Yay. Woohoo. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And as usual, filling your brain with all of the information about your health and wellness. Stay tuned. We have more. I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are 3 main factors that will determine how well you age.
The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And before we go on with the show, I just want to tell everyone that on September 15th from 7:30 to 9:30 in Coral Springs, I will be doing a lecture and the topic is Eat Right for Your Type. And having discussed that just for a little bit before the show began with Dr. Slavin, we might have a really interesting discussion. And so Eat Right for Your Type is based on a book written by Peter Diadamo, and it talks about choosing foods based on your blood type. And the foods are broken down into preferred, neutral, and avoid. Preferred food categories for the different blood types would be actually foods that almost act like medicines for your body. Neutral is food, and avoid, those foods have are categorized literally as poisons. And so that will be happening on September 15th, 7:30 to 9:30. And you can come and see me at Toonies or Greenlands if you want to find out more information about how to find the meeting.
You mean they're going to tell you where? Yeah, that's when
I'm
you tell,
keeping it a
it's
secret.
A secret where it is? Okay.
Yes, come and see me. You can actually... what I will have the website updated, and I'll put all of the information on my website, which is JanetCimarelli.com or Janazon.com, because Cimarelli might not be the easiest
name to spell. The easy website you should take was jcsuperstar.com. It's an easy one to remember.
Okay, JC Superstar. Woohoo. Okay, so Dr. Slavin, Eat Right for Your Type, and that's not high on your list of credible sources of information.
I remember reading the book, was it 10 years ago or more?
More.
And it was an interesting concept that that your blood type influences, or maybe the food influences your blood type. You know, there's a lot of interactions there. But if you think about it, let's go back 500 years and earlier. People really didn't travel from where they were born. They were born and they died in the same place.
And so they ate certain
types
foods,
of foods. Well, that's
right?
That's the
kind
whole
of like a macrobiotic perspective.
The whole point of what he's saying is that in certain, you know, each area of the world, you found a predominant type of blood, you know, one type of blood type. So maybe in Europe, there was one predominant blood type. Maybe in Africa, there was another one. And John is shaking her head.
No. So what? Okay. The O blood type, which is the most common blood type, is the oldest blood type. And that blood type comes from the hunter-gatherers, okay? So literally prehistoric, okay? And then...
It's not by region then?
No.
Where the blood types originate?
No. No, because of they're able to trace certain migration patterns, mm-hmm. because you can find O blood type in Africa. You can find O blood type in Siberia. So it is based on migration, and then development of certain agricultural situations.
So what you're saying is that the original blood type was type O.
Right.
So how did the other types, is type A, type B, and AB,
how did they
arise? Yes.
Okay. They originated by the certain types of food changes that would correlate with what you were discussing, Dr. Slavin, regions. So when agriculture and the production of grains began, that initiated a certain type of change in blood types. And then when there were more seasonal crops and ways of preserving those seasonal foods, when that began to be very commonly available, that was a contributing factor as well. It's very, very interesting because this is a truly controversial subject. There are many well-regarded research institutions who are supportive of it and others that are denigrating
it.
My go-to source to support my belief in it, Jeffrey Bland, is a follower.
Okay, I would follow Jeffrey Bland. But my point is, this is in my opinion, a very benign approach you could take to see if changing your diet in some respects might help improve your health. You know, I can't see any downside to trying it out. You know, what would be some of the health challenges that might be helped by taking this approach?
Well, I speak from personal experience. I had a situation and I was working, and this was a long time ago, working with you, Dr. Slavin, and working at another physician's office, and I just became so exhausted. I was barely able to function. And 10 years prior to this beginning to happen to me, I had decided that I was no longer going to eat meat, that I was appalled at how the animals were fed, appalled at how they were raised, and I would not support that industry. So I went 10 years without eating red meat. And I was not protein deprived because I always ate eggs. I always ate fish. I did not eat poultry and I did eat beef, red meat. I got very, very, very sick. At one point, I was so sick, I actually believed that I must be dying. I didn't know what was wrong with me. And blood tests that I had done here and with the other physician didn't show anything that would really support the intensity of how badly I was feeling. And this was before Dr. D'Adamo's book was published. And so I started thinking about steaks and burgers and red meat. And I, when the thoughts would come through my head, I chastised myself saying, you don't eat that you're a horrible person. What are you thinking like that? And then finally, after a long enough period of time, your body's talking to you. And I went out and ate red meat. And I tell you, with the most sincere honesty, I could feel the changes in my body. And I'm kind of careful about who I tell. Now I've broadcast it to the world. But I have another client who was actually in Dr. D'Adamo's office, also with worsening symptoms and declining health and well-being. And he hadn't eaten meat in years and years and years. Right in the office, Dr. D'Adamo gave him red meat to eat, and he reported the same sensations that I talk about.
Are there any blood types that suggest that you be a vegetarian?
Yes.
All right. I mean, so... I mean, that's still a controversy, too. Should humans be omnivores or herbivores or, well, carnivores is probably out. carnivores means you just eat meat. The omnivore is you're eating meat and plants and everything, or a vegetarian where you're eliminating the meat products.
Right.
And in some cases, you have to find out what works best for you.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting because... the inflammatory issues that so many Americans deal with, I would put a lot of it not only to the poor quality food, but poor eating based on your blood type.
Now, the listeners, if they wanted to attend your seminar coming up September 15th at an undisclosed location... they can come to Advanced Medical Testing Centers and get their blood type done. So you can go there with the information.
Blood type done here?
Sure.
Yay!
I
didn't know that. Fabulous. Yeah. I'll be able to tell the people mm-hmm. who come to the lecture on September 15th. Wonderful.
Well, or before the lecture, if you want to go there knowing what your blood type is.
Okay, that's helpful because I can
this way you can apply it more to yourself, when you listen to something.
Okay, very, I'm so happy to know that. I never mm-hmm. thought about coming
you know
here.
What? Let me think. When we come back from the next break, I'll see if I can find out what the price of that test. I can't imagine it's an expensive test to have.
It shouldn't be very expensive. And there are so many different nuances. And I tell people, if you're not ill, if you're not having any problems, you can eat mostly from the preferred and the neutral lists, but you can throw in an avoid substance once in a while. But it happens over and over and over again that when someone knows their blood type and I do some research for them while they're speaking to me, they may be using something from the avoid list that they absolutely don't connect at all with the symptoms that they may be dealing with. I had someone that I was talking to, and she does orange juice every single morning. And if I were to suggest to her that maybe orange juice might not be the very best way to start her day, she was very, very concerned because she'd been doing it since she was a child. And orange juice was on her list of things to avoid.
Well, but we could safely say that nobody should have orange juice because of the high sugar content. Have a whole orange. That would make more sense.
And that was interesting because she was able to have oranges. Those were on her neutral list, but orange juice was on the avoid list. And to all of you tuned right here to Natural Doc Radio, stay with us because there's more to come.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. 216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute, services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and today our conversation is very wide-ranging and so many different topics to discuss. And I want to talk a little bit today about why you might want to consider a nutritional approach, a nutrition therapy, if you will, if you're dealing with any specific diagnosis, if you're dealing with any particular problem. And why would you start with a nutrition therapy? Well, very often it's that basic imbalance in your whole system, that one tiny little thing that is not in a sufficient presence in your body that's contributing to the development of suppression of your immune system, contributing to a vision issue, contributing to a digestive issue. That's something that I see so very, very frequently, that digestive dysfunction. And when it is very supported with a nutritional intervention, either enzyme content that's added to your daily routine or a probiotic that's added to your daily routine. So many things that are present in our diets that interfere with the presence of enzymes and probiotics. Dr. Slavin, and we are back.
No, I was just, what I'm pointing out to you.
Okay.
Is online.
Wrong screen that I was looking
over
at.
Here. Online.
Okay, got it.
They have a kit you can get.
Yes.
It says, eat right for your type, home blood typing kit with Eldon card. And they say it's only $6.50. So
okay.
Okay.
So you have to mail away for that. Okay.
Right.
Free shipping, they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I would, you know, still like to...
Okay, and then you can buy multiple cards, 5 blood typing.
Yeah, just a little bit of savings, $31.95, $32 for 5 cards, a little over $6 a card. Not sure how accurate it is and how many times, how do people really want to do it themselves? But
right.
If you're inclined, it's available.
Okay. So those are available on Amazon. So it's just a little blood drop that you put on the card. Then you mail the card back to the lab, and the lab, I believe, tells you what your blood type is. Very, very easy to do, very easy to find out. One of the things that I tell people, if you don't want to spend any money at all, attempt to donate blood. And when you donate blood, they'll tell you what your blood type is. And so, okay.
If you donate blood, they might tell you.
That's how I found out.
I don't know if they do it automatically, but... You could ask them to do it. Maybe they'll do it for you.
Well, one of the reasons that they, when you are O blood type, you're considered the universal donor, that your all of the other blood types have essentially evolved from O blood type, and so you can contribute blood to any of those other blood types. However, an O person could not receive a blood donation from A, B, or AB. And Dr. Slavin,
well, just so you know, you really, you know, aside from this diet, you don't have to know your blood type, because if you were ever in a situation where that was important, they automatically check it if you needed a blood transfusion. And there are more factors that they test for than just the ABO system. There are a lot of other factors. In fact, when we order a blood transfusion, we would write type and cross match. And what that means is, you know, get the blood type, but cross match, meaning put the two types of blood together, what you're going to transfuse with the patient's own blood, to see if it reacts. Because the reaction you have when they're incompatible is agglutination, you know, blood clotting. That's what you don't want to have. That's why you got to make sure it's a good match. And there could be other factors in the blood that you may not have tested for that you would pick up if you you do that.
And essentially, that's what Dr. D'Adamo is basing this preferred, neutral, and avoid. The avoid foods for specific blood types lead to overproduction of lectins, and lectins are essentially poisons that cause your blood to coagulate abnormally. So that same thing that you're referring to, the agglutination process when you're cross-matching blood type, very, very much that underlying perspective with Dr. D'Adamo's work. And there's all kinds of books. The work has progressed beyond O, A, B, and AB into very specific subtypes of those groups, which is very interesting, because sometimes even following the diet 100%, no avoids, people still were not able to overcome their issues.
Well, there are other factors besides
right. Eat
right for your type.
Right.
And that's why I think this whole health let's call it vitamin, mineral, health supplement movement is taking off. People are going to their doctors. The doctors do their tests. Everything is fine, yet the patient doesn't feel good. So now they're going elsewhere looking for answers. Why don't I feel good? In fact, it was maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago, that really got the medical establishment alarmed that the public is actually spending more out-of-pocket dollars on alternative medicine than they were spending seeing their physicians, because the physicians are so limited in how they can help people. You know, if you need a blood transfusion, they can help you. But if you're just feeling weak and tired and the blood tests don't show a reason for that, they don't have an explanation, when it could be something you're eating. It could be something that you're exposed to from the environment that's making you not feel good. It could be allergies. The things that they're not trained to look for. Remember, doctors are trained in a hospital setting. So it's pretty clear cut what's wrong with the person when they're sick enough to be in a hospital. The interesting thing is, you know, for example, you know the patient's very sick. You know what organ is sick, but you don't know why that organ became sick necessarily. You know,
very important consideration there.
For example, you go, even when you go into the hospital with chest pain and you're having a heart attack, why did you get a heart attack? What did you do for the last 20 or 30 years of your life, or maybe your whole life, that predisposed you to a heart attack? That they're not interested in that. They're just treating the immediate problem. And the same can be said for almost any problem, breast cancer. You didn't just get breast cancer. You know, yesterday you were fine. Today you have breast cancer. What was happening over the last 20 or 30 years? Right across the board with everything. And the obvious thing is they never study healthy people. What is it about healthy people that sets them apart from people who get sick.
And that's, I am working on getting the gentleman to join us on the radio, who wrote Blue Zones. And the Blue Zones are where the people are healthy and live to an advanced age in a very, very, productive, flexible, agile, healthy way.
If you move to those areas, can you expect to live longer?
Well, hey, okay, now there's a wonderful area of discussion because when people migrate from a healthy environment with established, right,
well,
come
that
to
we
the
know.
United States.
Yeah, they've shown that over and over again, like from Japan to United States, from even from Hawaii.
Right.
And they always attribute it to the change in diet. And then they start getting the same diseases of where they live. So, but is the reverse true?
Very interesting.
It should be, but
I would think, but you, now I'm thinking that people deteriorate more quickly with a poor quality diet than they are able to recover from a poor quality diet by changing to a health supporting diet. I think it would take, and see, I'm into this therapeutic nutrition perspective that you might have to do just a little bit more than the people who've lived in those blue zones for years and years.
Why did he coin it blue zones?
I don't know.
Why not?
That's a question. When he comes here,
I'm thinking,
we'll ask him.
I guess from a color perspective, blue is you don't want to call them red zones. That's not good. green zones might have been good, too.
I would have thought green zones, but I think that could possibly have some negative connotations.
Was Okinawa on his list as well?
I believe so, yes.
Okinawa's?
Yeah.
And how about the place in Ecuador?
You're getting just a little bit too far ahead of me. I don't know. I don't have
remember,
the book.
I'm trying to remember the Vilcabambas in Ecuador.
Okay.
You know, also long-lived people.
Okay.
And depending upon what product you're selling, you attribute it to what they, you know, you try to say, well, you know, they were drinking this high mineral content water, so take this product. Or in Japan, they're having a lot of seaweed or seafood, so take this product. And it's, I don't know that it's just one product that makes the difference. I think it's a combination of a lot of different things.
It's very interesting you mentioned Japan, Dr. Slavin, because in Japan, very, very high rate of tobacco use, smokers, and yet they don't have the rates of lung cancer that Americans have. So when you think about what is it that's protecting them, possibly the trace minerals, possibly their lifestyle seems to be pretty high stress. But so you keep narrowing it down to what could it be, and dietary choices and what their plates look like in general. They are not overweight like Americans.
You would have thought the tobacco companies could have used that defense.
Uh-huh.
See, they smoke even more in Japan, yet they're not getting lung cancer as we do in this country. There are other factors involved.
True. And that music means that we have to take a break here, Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Zimmerelli with Dr. Herb Slavin, brought to you by AMT Centers, Advanced Medical Testing Centers. And we'll tell you more when we come back.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com and tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. right here on this station.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we are brought to you every morning by AMT Centers. And last Saturday, we had a seminar at AMT Centers. Dr. Slavin made a presentation, very, very interesting presentation of all of the different types of testing that are available at AMT Centers, far beyond what your doctor might be testing, giving you the insight into where to direct your natural approaches, where to direct your efforts to maintain wellness.
And I had hoped that by explaining to the healthcare consumer these tests are available, they can go back to their doctor and have him order the test. I don't know if that's really going to happen. I think more likely than not, the doctor will decline, and but you can still come to AMT Centers. They have healthcare providers that can order the test for you, so that your insurance will cover it.
Okay,
and then you can decide. You can take it back to your doctor, see if he can be helpful at all. Sometimes you can do it on your own, or you can make an appointment to see somebody associated with AMT Centers, like Janet or one of the other health providers they have there, and, you know, just get a little more insight into it.
So important to understand that when something is out of range, it isn't a terrible, terrible thing. It is a correctable situation. Usually you can attribute an out-of-range result possibly to what you have eaten recently, possibly to dehydration, possibly if you're taking certain pharmaceutical or over-the-counter drugs, possibly if your nutrition supplementation is not in proper balance.
Now, I'm going to bring up this term we've talked about over the years called surrogate endpoints. And what that means is it's been observed that people with normal cholesterol levels have a lower incidence of heart disease. And that may even be debatable, because in some studies there seems to be no connection between cholesterol levels and heart attacks or heart disease. But where I'm going here is the surrogate endpoint, whether it be used in treating high blood pressure or high cholesterol or high blood sugar in the type 2 diabetics. In other words, instead of lowering it naturally by removing the underlying cause of the problem, you lower it with a drug, and you put that person into the normal range, but they haven't gotten there naturally. They've gotten there with a drug. That's like my recalibrating the scale, and when the 300-pound person steps on it, it weighs only 200 pounds.
I like that scale.
Well, that's what drugs do. They you know, they just, but that patient isn't any lighter or any heavier. They just change the way the body responds to the cause of the problem. And if indeed lowering your cholesterol into the normal range through the use of statins, which is what's used predominantly, were so effective, you should have seen the incidence of heart disease and heart attacks going down over the last 20 years or so since statins came on the scene. But we haven't.
Not at all. And unfortunately,
but what you've seen is a list of other problems, side effects associated with the use of statins on top of heart disease.
Okay. Muscle deterioration, joint pain, certain digestive problems. So much.
Amnesia.
Okay, Dr. Duane Graveline, right. spacedoc.com. He had transient global amnesia.
And now diabetes.
Right.
Now, what's interesting is that the one of the causes, probably the predominant cause of elevated lipids in the blood, meaning fats in the blood like cholesterol, is the consumption of too much carbohydrates.
And so that's just the opposite of what doctors are telling their patients who have high cholesterol based on the blood tests. They're saying, watch your fats. Well, have a low-fat diet. And indeed, that low-fat diet has not translated to a benefit. Indeed, it's a problem.
You know, I suggest to anybody that's being put on a statin drug to protect them from having a heart attack because they have coronary artery disease. And that's the presumption, because they really haven't done any tests to demonstrate whether or not you do, is get a calcium score, a CT calcium score, a very simple test. It's a quick scan of your coronary arteries, no injections, you know, nothing, and see if you have any coronary artery disease. Because I see a lot of patients with out-of-range cholesterols with absolutely no calcifications in their coronary arteries, which means they don't have any plaque.
And speaking of injections, Dr. Slavin, the Food and Drug Administration, they have approved Repatha, and it is a non-statin drug approved to treat high cholesterol, and it's an injected drug, and what it does is prevent your liver. Inhibits the liver's ability to remove LDL from the blood, which, you know, kind of makes me wonder exactly how it works. And for sure, I don't want to take an injection that is going to interfere with how my liver functions. And most common side effects of Repatha, nasal and throat inflammation, upper respiratory infection, flu, back pain. I don't know if this is an improvement over what we're seeing with regard to the war on cholesterol. And I literally talk about it as a war on cholesterol. Why are you warring against something that produces hormones in your body? Something that's critically important for how your immune system functions. Something that is supportive of brain function and liver function. So many different important activities within your body that are supported by a healthy cholesterol level. And the mainstream medical approach is let's wipe this cholesterol out. I don't understand it.
And every time we speak about coronary artery disease, I want to refer people back to Linus Pauling's website called paulingtherapy.com. I don't know if it's his website, but it's all about him and his theory about what causes coronary artery disease, which makes a lot more sense than needing a drug. And it's crazy that such an expensive drug needs to be used, but this is the way well, let me read something to you. This is interesting. The FDA, an agency within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, protects the public health by assuring the safety, effectiveness, and security of human and veterinary drugs, vaccines, and other biological products for human use and medical devices. The agency also is responsible for the safety and security of our nation's food supply, cosmetics, dietary supplements, products that give off electronic radiation, and for regulating tobacco products. My opinion, they're not doing a very good job.
And why is it that years and years and years and years go by and they're not doing a good job and the American people just sit back and take this dysfunction of a government administration office. It's terrible.
The people who work for the FDA eventually want a job that pays really well in the private sector, namely the pharmaceutical industry. And that's what we see happening. We see people in government now, or vice versa, people who were in government now working, people who were working for the FDA in the private sector making a lot of money. And that's because when they were working for government, they turned a blind eye to information that would have prevented the approval of various drugs.
The revolving door also goes in the other direction, that former executives and employees of the legal department of corporations such as Monsanto and Bayer, currently employed at the FDA as well. And do I hear music?
Not yet, but as a libertarian, I would say I'm all in favor of letting people have access to all these things with one caveat, that all the information about them is available. So if you want to smoke, that's fine, but be told what you're risking when you decide to smoke. But don't try and block it, just like, for alcohol. Be told about the risks you're taking when you drink excessively. And things like that. But they don't do that.
The new drug that I was talking about, Repatha, is a drug that is targeting LDL cholesterol. And they're saying in this article, LDL builds up in the blood and is the leading cause of heart disease. However, inflammation is the underlying cause that leads to an increase in LDL. And so there are a variety of different ways that you can minimize inflammation in your body. And we are out of time, Dr.
I just wanted to say one last thing. In promoting this drug, they're saying, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, about 610,000 people die of heart disease in the United States every year, 1 in 4 deaths. But they've been on statin drugs. We thought statin drugs were going to eliminate heart disease. What's that all about?
That's what we were told. And as usual, lots of great information here on Natural Doc Radio. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, 10 to 11. We'll be here. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.